This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. It's Monday. We're here. We're live. We're chewing it up already. Getting stuck into the week. It's like a good breakfast. You do a breakfast every now and then, a proper breakfast with eggs and... You do that, Ben?
Huh? Weekenders.
Yeah.
A good weekend breakfast when you got time.
Oh, that's right.
And you're planning your day.
That's right. You do that, Sia?
Yeah, on a weekend.
No. And during the week, it's impossible, right? I mean, you'd have all the best intentions in the world. You could wake up an extra hour before you meant to wake up.
Mm-mm.
And the last thing you want to do is go and stand there and cook eggs. Are you kidding me? How difficult that is to get right.
Just to stand at this hour is asking for a lot.
Yeah, just to stand. Well, I woke up this morning. I got straight out of bed. I didn't have any problem getting up. But this time last week, I will admit, I struggled.
Did you have a leisurely Sunday then?
Yeah, Sunday was extremely lazy. I did nothing with both hands.
Mm. It was a nothing burger.
A nothing burger weekend.
Yeah. I still just use that term.
All right, well, where shall we begin today? Oh, Leanne's on her way in. She's running a little bit late, but she'll be joining us in just a moment.
7 minutes, so there's one more minute until Leanne time.
Yeah, she said 7 minutes, and you know we take these things very seriously.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I think it is? It's how everyone is now back on the road, so...
Yeah, it is. It's definitely...
The bigger chunk of people.
There are still a few lazy slackers who will only come back next week, I believe. But I don't know how the hell they got that negotiated with whoever they work for or whoever they work with.
You really can't get off this, huh? This is a fascination that you have in this
world. I do. So we've got a little group talking about getting here late. So I asked Gord on the group, hey, are you back this week, Gord? So he says no. He's landing on Tuesday night, but quite late, so he could do Wednesday, blah, blah, blah. So Ben just replies, no rush, Gord. So Gord replies, I'm not sure I get the joke / dig, Karpinski.
Mm.
I just know whatever it is, it's hurtful.
Wow.
And
always
that's enough.
Always the victim is young Gordon. And as for this, he sent a message to the group at like 1:26 this morning.
Yeah, I saw that.
What a prick.
Mm.
There's got to be rules to this kind of stuff. He knows we do a morning show, right?
Yeah.
So why is he messaging at 1:30 in the morning?
Good question.
Well,
so selfish. Again, it's like, look at me.
Yeah, you see, there are also those people who think that you can message or WhatsApp work stuff to anyone at any time, and I don't like that. I think email's one thing, because you can get to your email when you get to your email, but if someone is sending you work stuff on a Saturday night at 11 o'clock, I think that's just abusive.
But all of these lines are blurred now.
I know, that's the problem,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but see, that's where common decency's got to be part of your DNA. Yeah. So at 1:25, you better have the funniest fucking joke in the history of all jokes. Not, sex is cool, but have you ever wanted to cancel plans but didn't, and then they cancel?
Mm.
Did we need that?
Common decency is not common. That's the problem, Ben. Because that's actually why I contemplated deleting WhatsApp a few months ago. Because
yeah,
as
but
well,
you have to have WhatsApp. It's like phone oxygen.
I have to is a very strong word. Because now people as well, they'll send you an email, then they'll follow up that email with a WhatsApp text, and then they can see when you're online or they see when you read it. Then why didn't you read it? It's like, well,
and these
can't
are just
I have my own boundaries here?
And these are just your exes.
No. Folks, can I tell you a little funny story about that?
See, oh. I knew it. I would say
that. Look at what you've opened up.
I would say that Nick's story is here. I know him so well.
Okay. So, I have some advice. This is the help desk this morning. From this weekend, I had a bit of an odd encounter, because I'll say last year sometime, I went through a bit of a phase with this one particular guy, and I touched his shirt, I felt it up, and it felt like husband material. I could see it. He and I would just be perfect. We will just gallop into greener pastures forever and ever. Amen.
All right.
But I mean, he wasn't into me. Firstly, what's wrong with him? He must be blind. So it took a bit of a while.
Was he straight?
No, he's gay. Okay. But yeah, it is what it is. So I got over him, and it was a tough pill to swallow, but I still think he's an amazing guy. Mm-hmm. I later found out that there's this one particular person in his life, mm-hmm. one of his exes, who's the one that got away. And you know, like a few of us have that person who's just like...
And then they're soiled for everyone
else. I'll forever love you.
Yeah, okay.
You know, we might be years after the fact, but you still
so
make
this person
my
spoiled
heart
and made his fruit go rotten.
Ooh.
So did you meet the person?
Ben, not only did I meet the person. So it started a few weeks ago. I was at dinner and I was sitting with my friend, and the one that got away, let's call him that for the story. The one that got away is on the other side of the restaurant, and I noticed that he's there, and was quite a full restaurant, but he stands up and he weaves his way to my table and he says, "Sia." I was like, "Oh my gosh, you even know my name? I didn't know you know my name." And he says, "Hi, I just wanted to greet." And I was like, "Okay, hi." And we had a bit of an exchange, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a birthday party on Friday, and the one that got away was there. And he's quite like a known person in circles. And he could have very easily been like mingling with other people, but he went over to my table again, and he started this conversation again, and you can pick up where certain things are going, and was a bit of a flirtatious thing. And then on Saturday morning, I wake up and he's now following me on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the question.
Now hang a second. The one that got away, is it one that you want to take home?
No,
Ben, keep up.
Just asking.
It changes with CS so quickly.
No, I'm just asking because, well, I mean...
So what do you want advice on?
Can I cut
out the middleman, and why don't you go for the one everyone wants?
Can I be petty and start dating the one that got away just to get back at the one that I want?
This is where I'm going.
Of course you can.
Yeah.
In fact, you should.
Right.
Tell me to keep up. I'm ready at the finish line here.
I'm like, I wanted you. He doesn't want me. Now your ex wants me. So great. Let's just do this. The gay circles are quite incestuous. But okay, I feel...
Yeah, I would do that.
I feel very petty. I will have to be honest.
Well, look, I think we long passed the petty station long, long time ago. So maybe if you hook up with this one, then the one that
I wanted but doesn't want me
might see you in a different light and then want to get back at the one that got away with you. And before you know it, it's the full triangle.
There we go, Ben. My thinking exactly.
Easy. There we go.
And you get everything you want.
You see, best of both worlds.
And then all three of you will hate each other in like 6 months. And then...
then you can start from scratch.
You can start from scratch with a good story.
Screw the circle of life. It's the love triangle of life. That's what it is. Okay.
Yeah. Very exciting.
That was my bit of an eventful weekend.
Who else needs advice? We're looking good so far.
All right, if you need advice right now, you can call us on 0861-555-189. We'll help you solve all your problems. We're on a roll. There are lots and lots of other ways to get hold of us too. If you want to message us, you can do so on WhatsApp. You can tweet us, whatever you'd like to do. The WhatsApp number is 0797482090. Tweet at cliffcentral.com if you want to get to the screen right in front of us, and then we can join you into the conversation. We'll add you in.
Mm.
Uh-huh. Co-opt you into our little discussion this morning.
And also, if you are in Sia's future love triangle, also feel free to share your thoughts.
There we go. Or if you've been in one of his past love triangles.
If you want to make it a hexagon, go ahead.
No, don't want to talk to any exes. No one call, no one message.
A love sexagon.
Yes.
All right, so anybody have anything exciting happen this weekend?
Not really.
Besides Sia?
My cat fell out of the window.
What?
Cats don't fall.
Well, I know, but...
This Hopkins?
Hopkins fell out of the second story window.
Is he okay?
Yeah, he seems okay, but he was just walking a bit gingerly. He's not quite his normal savage self, and I found him, like, outside.
Did you see it happen?
No. I just couldn't find him after, like, half an hour, and I realized there was one window open that was, like, kind of hidden, but he found a way, and then he obviously slipped and fell. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, so that was a bit upsetting.
Oh, man.
Cats are usually pretty good at...
Well, look, obviously, he landed on his feet. It's just a long way to fall.
Yeah.
To fall on them feet.
Yeah, that's true. It must have hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
He must have really wanted to be outside.
Yeah, he does. He wants to go and like, run around and be wild. Yeah, so I can't say my weekend was that amazing.
Oh, jeez.
Ash, what did you do?
I'm trying to think if there was anything of interest, really. I did a lot of admin-y stuff. Because I realized I forgot my driver's license appointment, because now you can make appointments online.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You have to make appointments online, apparently. Yeah. You can't just go straight to the testing center. They won't let you in.
And if you're in the Joburg area, it's likely that the only place you'll find an appointment is at Langlachte.
Where is that?
It's just south of Joburg. Just south.
No.
In the whole of Joburg?
Yeah.
You most probably have to go there.
Of all of the choices that come up on the drop-down box, you've got a whole lot in Joburg, but they're only accepting new driver's licenses.
Yeah, someone told me the same thing, that she could only get an appointment in February.
Yeah, so I had one on like the 6th of Jan or something, and I forgot about it.
So now I have to wait until the
I think it's the 18th of February.
Oh.
When does your license expire?
It expired in June.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
So now I've got all my papers together and my appointment form printed out in my car, just in case something happens and I can say, look, I have an appointment. I know they're going to say, but you could have gone last year. Thing is, I did. The queue was too long. The second time I went back, my certified copy was out of date of my ID.
How is this not an online thing?
It's just really so difficult.
But the whole thing with the driver's license, right, is you go for your test. Now, apparently they also want to do like tests that you have to repeat. So if your license hasn't been renewed in like 10 years and you have to go for one of those, I think it lasts 5 years, right? Then every 10 years they say you've got to redo the whole thing, the driver's test. Now, can you imagine that?
That is such a good thing.
You think so?
Brilliant. Yes, please. I think most people have bought their licenses.
What, just because you see them drive badly?
True. All of the bad driving.
But can you imagine the administration involved in that?
Well,
you would have to open 10 new licensing stations, yeah, testing stations.
Because you've got people who are already, in inverted commas, licensed.
Yeah.
Now, if they have to go back and do more tests, we don't have the capacity for that. We don't even have the capacity to get people who want new licenses into the system. You've just expressed that yourself.
I know, but it would be, if it did work, it would be fantastic.
No, I'm a Lagos guy. I say, and by that I mean, let the crazies out there who break the rules. I mean, ultimately, you've just got to be really aware and look after yourself. You can't control everybody else. And if something terrible happens to you as a result of some other idiot making a mistake, well, there's always a certain margin that is you that you can do something about.
I always do think to myself, Leanne, you could be driving in Nigeria, where there are no lanes.
Is that the perspective?
You just push through where you can get in.
Just the silver lining to make you feel better.
Or in like Bangladesh, where they also don't have rules.
Yeah.
Drive wherever you want.
And if you've got a...
If you want to drive or ride a dog,
then you can. Yeah.
Or hyenas.
Yeah.
If you're actually hyenas in Nigeria.
See, I'm fine to do the driver's test. Can I just omit certain things? Because that just doesn't work.
What, like alley docking and parallel parking?
Parallel parking.
Those are the most fun, those. Yeah,
those are great.
Fun for who?
Okay, tag me in. You can tag me in if you're designated a parallel parker.
Because there are a few things I wouldn't want to do, like the blind spot, mirror blind spot thing.
All those stupid things that would give you a sore neck.
And the other thing is, you can't drive with one hand on your gear.
See, but that's just stupid.
Oh, right. I do remember that. Like, you have to have your hands at, what time is it? 3 o'clock and something? Yes.
10 to 2.
Goodness me, Sia.
And I'm the one who's got the...
9 o'clock.
Is it?
More like a 7 or 1 kind of guy.
Yeah, you know.
Scared of what you look like with your hands on the wheel.
So that's why I like to take out certain things, because it's fine. If I have to go anywhere and I know already where I'm going and requires me to parallel park, not going to drive. Really not going to bother. Like, Cape Town gives me anxiety just for that purpose, because I'm like...
Once you get it right, it becomes like...
Yeah, parallel parking is not hard.
I've scratched my car many a time.
And therefore, you've probably scratched other people's car, unbeknown to them.
Probably word that better. I've scratched other people's car.
Wow, look at the time. Look at the weather this morning.
All right, well, I have noticed, and I spoke about this the other morning when I came in, January skies are the best skies.
The colors are incredible.
Yeah.
Every evening and morning.
Every evening and every morning in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, has been spectacular. It's like a light show. Maybe it's just Joburg. I don't know if it's the same in Durban or in Cape Town or anywhere else. But, man, it's because of those afternoon thunderstorms, the clear air. It's just all so pretty.
Mm. And, you know, they say a red sky at night. You know,
a red sky at night, yeah.
It's a shepherd's delight. A red sky in the morning is a shepherd's warning.
What's that all about?
Don't.
No, what does that mean?
Who knows? Yeah, who knows shepherds?
Shepherds. I haven't met a shepherd in my life. What help is that, Leanne?
That's the saying, and it means if the sky's red at night, it means it's going to be clear the next day.
Oh.
Shepherd's delight.
Okay.
A red sky in the morning means you're probably going to have rain during the day.
Okay, well, let's see, because this morning there was some red in the sky.
I'm going to put Shepherd's Delight into Urban Dictionary and see what I can find.
You probably get like
going to go well.
You'll probably get like
rude.
Shepherd's Delight.
And then he had a Shepherd's Delight in his face, and that was the last I ever saw of him.
Oh, no. I've honestly never heard of that.
That's what I grew up on.
Yeah, that's what Leanne grew up on. Many people say things like that.
Sure. Okay. But no.
No, it's like one of those sayings.
Does it exist? On Urban Dictionary?
Does it exist as a meal?
Top definition.
Shepherd's delight.
To have sex with a sheep. Oh, I'm going to have some shepherd's delight. Come here, Bessie. That's the sentence you use.
So the main one that comes up is red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky in the morning, sailor's warning.
Well, those sailors, if they give you a warning, I'll also run.
Sure. You've got to be careful there.
The STDs around those guys historically have never been great. But yeah, shepherd's delight. Stay away from anybody who's really into Shepherd's Delight.
Well, you learn something new every day.
It first appears in the Bible in the book of Matthew.
Oh.
Well, I think the sheep had a bit of a tough time in those days too.
Originally known to help the shepherds prepare for the next day's weather.
Oh, they definitely did have a tough time. Yeah. So, Sia showed me a preview of Game of Thrones the other day, but it was like a scene.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a scene, that's all. I got like maybe 5 seconds on screen of the Khaleesi talking to someone. But it's coming on in what, April?
Of course, yeah, 2019.
The new and final Game of Thrones, which is very, very exciting.
But
I'm very excited about this. Have I mentioned that before?
I just didn't ever get into it, but I'm glad for you.
Thanks, that's nice of you.
Watching it with you and seeing the comments a lot of people have made on social media from that one mass trailer that was released, a lot of people are annoyed. Like, why even bother HBO releasing this trailer when you didn't even tell us anything?
They tell us nothing. They don't care about us.
Okay.
They do not respect us.
That escalated quickly.
I know. It's true. I get very annoyed. But I have started watching a series of, it's a TV series that obviously came out a long time ago. It's called Sense8. It's about these eight people who are connected in different parts of the world, and they all can get into each other's heads, and it's very weird. It's by the Wachowskis. You know the Wachowskis? They used to be the Wachowski brothers, now they're the Wachowski sisters.
Oh, yes, they had a sex change.
Yeah. Wait, both of them?
Yes.
No, guys, what are you talking about?
No, really, look them up. The Wachowskis, they put this show together, and someone told me over the holidays, you've got to watch this show, it's brilliant, it's so clever, it's so interesting, it's so well done. So I started watching it, I watched the first episode last night, and I was also, backing up my photos from my phone, right? And that is such a, why is it so difficult to do that kind of thing?
Yeah.
You know, it's a mission and a half. You have to copy things across, then you have to go through your album and delete all the crap that, you know, because people send you memes and pictures. You don't need to keep those, right?
Never.
No, and they always pop up when I'm showing something to a client on my phone.
Yeah, but, and then there's some rude meme that comes up on the screen. You're like, and this is how the place looks. So if you want to rent it, it's...
Oh, a dong. no.
So if you're interested in the property, here you
go. Oh, tits. Oh, no.
It's a problem. It's a serious problem. And I love this time of year because it's really peak summer still.
Mm.
You can be in the pool and all of that kind of thing. Have a nice afternoon nap.
Yeah, it was hot this weekend.
Beautiful. I love these weekends.
Oh, driving down at night with your windows down because it's still nice and warm.
Oh, sip us the light.
Mm. Oh! Ooh la la.
Everything's a shepherd's delight. You wanted to ask me something, Sia.
Some strange sheep stuck in a fence. Trip us the light.
No, I was just going to ask how your weekend
sheep looks
was.
Back. Sheep looks back with love in its eyes.
I do not want a picture how sheep looks like with love in its eyes. No, thank you.
That's good. What did I do? Friday night was very chilled. Saturday I had a few people around. But Friday night was very relaxed. It was so nice. I was so tempted. There were people asking me to come and join them at a place they were all having drinks at. And I thought, nah, stayed in. It's great.
Mm.
Yeah, it really was.
I left here on Friday not really knowing what I was going to do over the weekend, and I ended up having such a packed back-to-back weekend. But also,
well, clearly you were lining up the love triangles and all kinds of things. That'll keep you busy.
But Friday night, I actually forgot, a friend of mine was being surprised by their husband for his birthday.
Oh, Shepherd's Delight.
No.
Surprise.
It is actually very, very sweet and sentimental. And this couple is actually like nauseatingly in love, and they've been together for quite a while.
That's sweet, because I know a couple who are already going through shit at the moment.
There we go. Just
everything balances out in the end.
Focus on the love in the world. Mm. They just got married in December, and it was... goodness. It was my friend's birthday last week, so his husband decided to surprise him on Friday night. This friend of mine had been a performer as a young boy. He was started performing at 12, and one of the prominent places that he performed in was Turbine Hall here in Johannesburg.
Yeah.
So now his husband decided to book out Turbine Hall for him as a surprise. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so sweet. So we were all told to be there on time and dress up and, you know, be there by 7 because the couple will arrive at 8 and it will all be
they
a
had
great
a whole surprise.
Grand surprise.
Okay.
Oh, Sia arrived there at 8:15 and I really feel horrible about it.
It's so disrespectful.
It
How many times have we had this conversation?
Disgustingly disrespectful. I will own that. But I was, like, waiting for my Uber, and then I was just, like, looking at the clock, and I thought, oh, no, I'll make it in time. You know, I miscalculated. But arrived there after the major surprise was made, and I thought, okay, I hope they don't notice, and I just sneaked in the back. But it was very, very cool. In the words of the great shepherd, it was a shepherd's delight.
You did do it right in that you arrived late and quietly kind of slid
into the
back.
And I didn't make it known.
At least it wasn't at the same time as the people who were being surprised arrived.
Oh, God. That would have been terrible.
I was actually hoping.
No, you're allowed,
I was
just
not hoping.
Please,
for
let's
that.
Try to be on. Being on time is not. It's not cool and interesting. Like, I know in your case you said.
No,
Uber
not
way.
Being on time is not cool.
Not being on time is just disrespectful. What you're saying to someone is your time is less valuable than mine, and I'm going to arrive when I damn well like, because I have no respect for you. That's what you're saying. And can we stop with all of this fashionably late shit? Mm. Like, if someone says be there at 3, how disorganized and chaotic and fucked up is your life that you can't be there at 3? And you shouldn't accept an invitation if your life is chaotic and disorganized, because then you're not reliable. I do not understand this. Went to a lunch about 2 weeks ago, and it was set for lunch time. What is lunch time?
One.
One is, one's good. If it's a late lunch, maybe 2.
Yeah.
But anything after 3 is no longer lunch. And everything before 12 is is not even lunch, right? It's breakfast or brunch. Fuck me.
to these
people. Bless you. Arrived at 3:30. I'm like, what is this?
And lunch was at? They didn't schedule for 2.
One. They didn't go, sorry, we're late. They didn't explain themselves at all. They're like, hey, everybody, like, it's all fine. This is perfect. You're
what
not doing
the
anything. They didn't make an excuse. They were completely okay with the fact that they arrived at 3:30.
I'm not trying to make excuses for people like me who aren't on time. Does it make it better if someone messages?
No. Because
doesn't make
unless
it better.
Unless someone is dead. Like, unless death has happened or something very serious, like someone has had their head wrangled off by a truck on the highway or whatever, you know?
That's dead.
Okay.
Yeah, like there's something really terrible that's happened, because those things do happen from time to time.
Mm.
Just don't do it, and especially don't do it after the appointed time. Like, if the appointed time is 1, don't send a message at 2 saying, sorry, I'm running so late.
Oh, dear.
You know, because then that just means you didn't think about it until now. You probably overslept, you slob. Okay. You probably didn't feel like leaving at the right time. Or you tried to squeeze in 20 minutes of stuff before.
Yeah, you went to another lunch. That's the thing.
Well, it's just wrong. Anyway, it's my little bugbear. I'm not going to go down that path. There's enough to talk about this morning that doesn't involve those irritations. There are all kinds of other things for you to get annoyed with this morning.
Oh, no.
But let's start with something you can be thrilled about. All right? AfriForum and the EFF are on opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yes.
Right now. Well, guess what? The EFF have lost 2 big cases in the last while. That means that they've handed over $123,703.59 to AfriForum. EFF keep losing court cases, right?
Yeah.
They say things or they do things, and then AfriForum sues them. And because the courts are objective and don't care about politics, they've found twice in favor of AfriForum and against Julius personally and against the EFF. So what happens is the EFF then has to hand over money, which they've done on both occasions, to their credit. Or rather, to their debit, but to the credit of their... at least they've paid the money, right? So, what do you think AfriForum used this money for? I love this. This is poetic justice.
So they've done something quite symbolic with it.
So the EFF takes the money, they give it to AfriForum because the court orders them to. Then AfriForum takes that money and they fight expropriation without compensation, which is the EFF's main agenda point.
Yes.
So everyone wins.
Mm.
That's so smart.
Hey.
I mean, well, the EFF don't win, but AfriForum use it to fight the EFF's agenda. So the EFF are actually paying for the fight against expropriation without compensation. Isn't that clever?
Yeah,
that is the biggest in your face to them.
It's just a wonder, like, outside of dodgy businessmen and cigarette traders, where does the EFF get money from?
I don't know, because their supporters don't have money.
Cigarette traders.
No, well, that's the whole thing about politics, yeah. If you go through time, I'm not just making this an EFF thing, is that many politicians go to bed with various nefarious business people, because once they get into power or have some sort of political sway, these business people then get certain favors, like not paying tax or tenders or blind eyes towards here or police connections.
You don't have to look far, especially after this weekend in Durban with the ANC. It was very interesting.
Their birthday?
Started seeing, like, who was there, which business people, inverted commas.
Right.
Which, you know, startup grand entrepreneurs who talk the talk about how great it is to be in business. Then you go, oh,
you're in business at the ANC. Okay,
that red and yellow and black looks mighty fine on you.
Right. But it's just funny to me that one of the biggest donors to AfriForum is the EFF.
Pisses them off.
Can you imagine how annoyed they are?
So much.
Yeah, imagine what their bank statement looks like.
Yeah, they're currently appealing the interdict that AfriForum obtained against them on March 7, 2017, while the 2 cost orders of November 14, 2018 still had to be assessed. That's what Cully Creel of the group AfriForum said just over the weekend. So basically, Julius Malema and the EFF are paying for AfriForum to fight expropriation without compensation. Very, very interesting twist of events.
It's a constitutional issue, ultimately. Yeah. So that's why this is a fight in court.
Correct.
This isn't a fight over people's thoughts or just other crap.
Or ideology or anything like that. Meanwhile, Higher Education and Training Minister Naledi Pandor has welcomed the agreement signed by the University of South Africa and student leaders.
Oh, she's the one with the American accent.
Yes, that's Naledi Pandor.
She was a Hong 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 one.
That's right. Who was that who said that?
Julia said... you with your
Honorable
American
Madisha. Yes.
Willie Madisha. Okay. Registration at the university was disrupted last week after protests resulted in all campuses in the country to close. The Student Representative Council made a number of demands on issues including admission requirements, fee increments, and study material. You know, basically everyone in South Africa wants to go to university now. And they want to be let in regardless of how bad their marks are. They want to be let in regardless of whether they can afford it or not. And it's got out of control. It's got to the point now where I'm very concerned that our universities are even competitive. There are people studying at South African universities they're either plowing their own money in there or the government is giving them bursaries. The government already pays for, I think it's a third of all the student fees, right? Because they cover a third of the cost. They have various systems and schemes in place that mean that they're responsible for funding the universities to a tune of about a third. And I stand to be corrected on that. If there's anyone who knows better, please let me know. But here's the problem, is that the degree itself at the end of this is worthless if you go into a job market that can't absorb you.
Sure.
There are so many people who finish university, they get a degree. Maybe they even get a degree with distinction, who knows. And then you enter the job market and people go, oh, sorry, no jobs here. So what are you going to do? It's like people have been promised, if you just get this degree, then you'll be okay.
Yeah.
And that's not the truth.
It might have been like back in the days when people used to say things like ship is the light and red sky in the morning. Mm. But now
in the end time.
Oh, back in those days. Anyway,
it gave you a grounding towards the workplace, but things have evolved.
And the SRC in this case, the Student Representative Council, making demands including admission requirements, which clearly they want lowered so that more people can be admitted. But you see, more people being admitted means less quality for all those people who are admitted. It's just simple mathematics. If you have a lecturer and they have to divide their attention between 50 students or 500 students, guess what's better for the students? Being in the class of 50. And if you have to then use study materials or work in groups or do projects or whatever it is, someone's got to mark those, someone's got to... So the more people you add into the system, the harder it gets to obtain the quality that you need. Then their second problem is fee increments. Well, yes, tertiary education is expensive. It's expensive everywhere in the world. It's not a South African thing. In America, people are complaining about student loans. People are repaying their student loans well into their 30s in America.
Sure.
They're basically being shackled with debt for the rest of their lives because they wanted to study. So that's stupid.
Mm.
And then study material. So you don't want to pay the fees for the university or you want them lowered. You don't want to buy your own study material, so who's going to buy that for you? There isn't a magic fairy, money fairy in the sky who's going to come down and say, oh, let me cover your costs, honey, and wave the wand and then suddenly all your expenses are gone. That's never happened in the history of humanity. And if you think the government pay for that stuff, guess what? Government are a net loss machine. That means taxpayers. Other people's work is paying for your study material or your fees. And they're not going to pay forever. Because why should other people who are not your daddy or your mommy pay for you to go to university? Anyway, so the long and short of this story is that Naledi Pandor has said that she welcomes the agreement reached to end the UNISA student strike. I say if they want to keep arguing about this stuff, let them carry on striking. The academic year won't start. They'll waste their money and their time. And we'll have a whole bunch of people sitting around on campuses all over South Africa on their hands.
What a mess.
The weather service. We love the weather. Oh, my dad watches the weather. God, does he love the weather. He's got an app on his phone for the weather. He loves the weather. I couldn't care less about the weather. I take my chances. Wake up in the morning, and whatever it is, I'll dress accordingly. For some people, it is fascinating. Yeah. I said to him the other day, you don't farm. What do you care about the weather? Oh, it's very important to know what's going on in the weather.
I have an aunt who's like that. She's I go, hi, Auntie Arlene. She goes, hi, it's going to be raining on Thursday.
Oh, is that the first thing she says
yes.
to you? So the weather service has cleared Polokwane for heavy rainfall today. I don't know if that clears them, but apparently Polokwane, there were floods. Huge floods. Some of the roads are flooded. Trees toppled over.
Oh, and those roads are pretty dodgy to start with.
Yeah, Polokwane. So that was... that happened on the 12th of January. Today's the 14th, obviously, and they're saying big, big, big storms today. So look out. Look out, Polokwane. Shepherd's Delight.
Wow. No, that's a shepherd's warning.
Yeah, shepherd's
that
warning.
One.
Oh, right. All day there.
Right.
All right. Then the DA-led Western Cape government has called for a provincial police force. What do we think of that before I even carry on? Anybody have an opinion on this?
I just see corruption and problems and...
They're saying...
Okay, wait. We spoke about last week that the police can't protect us in this country, so we must protect ourselves. So if they want more police, it's hard to kind of knock this. Because now they're basically saying, well, clearly we need to actually up this.
Well, they're saying in particular that the Western Cape has a different requirement for police. They've got a few things there that we don't have in the rest of the country in large proportion, right? They have gangsterism. They have a massive drug problem. There's all kinds of very Western Cape-specific problems.
Okay.
And they say the national government don't prioritize those things, and therefore the Western Cape government have to they have their hands tied. They can't deploy policemen themselves. They realize the local problems need local solutions. So they want to start their own police force. And it was announced last week at the Democratic Alliance's registration drive in Bontehevel. They say that a provincial police force would allow for greater crime prevention as the province's officials are capable and understand the environment better. We are 4,500 police officers too short in the province, and we also know there are hotspots that are around the province. It takes too long for police management to find solutions for crime in those hotspots. And, of course, the big one is gangsterism.
The ministry, how are these people going to be paid?
Well, the Ministry of Police has rejected this call. Becky Taylor's spokesperson said, "We reject this. The DA must focus on service delivery issues and the welfare of the people in the Western Cape and leave policing matters to the SAPS."
But they can't do it.
That's right. But we don't want to say that, Ben. We're going to pretend everything's all right. We're going to pretend that we're doing exactly the right thing. So there's something to chew on. If you're in the Western Cape and you have a solution to this, I'd love to hear it. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. More people on the payroll, more people for the Western Cape government to have to pay for themselves. I don't know. Maybe
more
it is a solution.
Full stop.
Yeah. And also, why is that province so riddled with peculiar Western Cape problems? Like, what is it about the Western Cape? Is it society? Is it culture? Is it poverty? Is it immigration to that province? Well, I mean, what is it?
I think it's a combination of all of those things.
Yeah.
Because you look at how KZN as well largely has its own, like, taxi violence thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all of these unique problems to these various places.
And then finally, in the things you need to know this morning, top Republican lawmakers on Sunday warned against Donald Trump declaring a national emergency to secure funds for the border wall, signaling doubts within the president's party as a government shutdown was set to enter a fourth work week. So what's happened, there's this government shutdown there. It's a partial shutdown, so it's not the whole government, but they are being held to the fire by Donald Trump, who wants to build his border wall. And, of course, the Democrats say no, and they've got control of the House, and they therefore are standing in his way. He wants $5 billion or so to complete a piece of border wall 290 kilometers long. They won't let him. Nancy Pelosi says, "I will not." So he's saying, "I want my wall." She says, "You can't have your wall." Government goes into shutdown.
What about a fence? Can't they compromise on a fence?
Apparently they are doing steel slats. So it's like a more like a fence than it is a wall.
Has there ever been something like this? A government shutdown?
Yeah, there have been a few. There was one under Obama not so long ago.
All right. And the last...
Yeah, they last a while. Just an annoyance. Because what it means is that a whole bunch of state employees just get paid late. That's effectively what it is. But all the normal stuff, all the emergency services stuff, all the essential services stuff, that carries on. So it's not like the army or the social security system all falls apart. It carries on.
But I'm surprised as why certain facilities or venues also shut down in this time.
Oh, well,
are they government funded or backed?
Yeah, it's probably because they want to make sure that those people get paid, and if they can't make sure they get paid, they don't send them to work.
Oh, okay.
They call it furloughing when they send those people home. They say to them, "Okay, you don't have to come to work today. We'll furlough you for this week." So that's what's going on in America.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to ask something? No?
No. Okay. No questions at this point, thank you.
Thank you very much, Leanne. Excellent. Now, it is time for Ben to regale us with sports stories after the weekend. And just to give you a quick update, Bitcoin $3,567 and Ethereum $119. Don't forget, we're going to check in with Seleho in a little bit. He's in for Anthea this morning. We'll find out what's happening with your money. But first, here is Ben with the latest in the sport.
Yes, Gareth. The Proteas close in on another win. Man United win again. And sadly, former singer passes away. Yeah, it started with the cricket then, and the Proteas were doing, well, they were doing pretty all right against Pakistan. It was just another wondrous pitch where you wonder if the ball's going to hit you or not.
And you went, didn't you?
Yeah, I was there all day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It was very nice. Had quite a few beers, had a gin and tonic. Actually, gin and juice is what we ended up on.
Huh.
Yeah, well, that's cricket. That's test cricket for you.
It's also options. Snoop Dogg's favourite thing to drink.
You have your options and you carry on. So, Pakistan, well, look, let's be honest, this team is piss poor. I mean, they're just very, very basic. And the Proteas are doing a good job in being the more dominant of the two sides. But Pakistan, to their credit, with their backs firmly against the wall, they needed 380 so runs, whatever, in the fourth and final innings. They're 153 for three. So all they require on days 4 and 5, now this is uncharted territory in test cricket, play doesn't really go past day 4, sure as hell doesn't get to day 5.
Yeah.
So time is on their side. They need 228 runs, and they have 7 wickets in play. Now, what does this really mean? Well, Asad Shafiq and Baba Azam, they're at the crease right now, 48 and 17 are out respectively. They're going at a healthy rate, but the way things will be going in the series, there's no way these guys are going to stick out an entire day, because that's what they need to do. Generally, if you look at the scores in the series, have not been great. I mean, in this test alone, SA were 262, and then 303 held by Quinton de Kock 100. But Pakistan, they haven't really been getting over 200 that much. So they're doing well at the moment, but ultimately they're going to crumble. And with that, SA will win 3-0. Speaking of guys, well, people are good at cricket to people who are really shit at cricket, the Chinese women, they had an absolutely diabolical showing against the UAE's women. So what is happening in cricket is they're trying to globalize the game, which is great, and everyone's really behind this. And there was a Thailand women's T20 smash in Bangkok.
Mm-hmm.
What a sentence.
Sure. Jeez. Just say that again.
The Thailand women's T20 smash at Bangkok.
Sure. That sounds like something you can get on a menu in certain parts of Bangkok.
Yeah. So the UAE women, they scored 203 for 3 in their 20 overs. China woman, any guesses?
Not great by your estimation of your intro.
Well, Gareth Ebola for 14. Chang got 2.
Wang, oh, no.
Wang Yu got a duck. Yang Ling got 3.
Yang
Lily
Ling.
Got 4. Zhao got 3. Hyo Yi got 0.
Oh,
Ping
Xiaoyi.
Got 0.
Ping?
Jingzhu got 0. Chang also 0.
Oh, no, not
Khan
Chang.
Khan got 0. And then Min.
Min.
0.
Oh my god.
Out for a Peking duck.
She was not us.
For the names you usually butcher, that was amazing, Ben.
Well, good, you know, I like to run through the Chinese batting order on a regular basis.
Congratulations.
So, yeah, there's a long way to go to globalizing the game. And if you are a Chinese woman cricketer, then maybe there's other things to do in your T20 smash in Bangkok. Hopefully your trip is not completely in vain.
They're going to get home and have such a hard time because the Chinese hate losing.
Oh, yeah.
Do not deal with it well.
I mean, it's just diabolical, really.
They're not going to be met at the airport by adoring fans, that's for sure.
No. Unlike Man United fans right now, they'll meet their team anywhere. I think it's 6 out of 6 under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Ole Gok what?
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
You're
that
making
guy.
It up.
No, that's...
Ole Gunnar Sock Draw.
So he was a big deal back in Man United's heydays when David Beckham was there and the Scholes and Neville and those people when they used to win different things. So he's kind of being behind the scenes, but then he was thrust into the limelight as Jose Mourinho's face like a smacked ass is given his marching orders. So 6 out of 6, and the games that they've won so far haven't been great. But this weekend, Man United went away to Spurs and they beat Spurs. So, as we've been saying, Spurs are ultimately going to be Spurs and fall out of the title race. They thought they were up there with Liverpool and Man City, but they're not really. And this loss just basically signified this. But does this mean that Solskjaer is now maybe worth spending more time on? It's hard to actually say no. Because a lot of the time what happens is that these big knob coaches get thrown out, and then they'll have like an interim stand-in guy. An interim standing guy generally just gets thrown away after a little bit. I remember back in Chelsea, I think it was Di Matteo, he actually then went on to lead Chelsea to a Champions League victory, which was the biggest deal. But ultimately, these big clubs want big managers, big signings. That's what they need, because all marketing in the end. So far so good. Man United are going well, but ultimately in the log it means absolutely nothing, because either Liverpool or Man City. Liverpool did win over the weekend. They went to Brighton, they won 1-0, and tonight Man City will be beating Wolves at 10 o'clock. English Premier League rap, really. And locally in the PSL, Black Leopards far too strong for SuperSport United. That team's still on the down and down. 2-0 they won. Cape Town City were held by Baroka at home 2-2. AmaZulu the same with Highlands Park 0-0. And then yesterday's game, Bloem Celtic 1-1 of the Golden Arrows. So a piss boring weekend in the PSL. No massive surprise there. Sadly, Phil Masinga, who is a final legend.
Yeah.
He played for Leeds as well during the 90s. He sadly passed away. He was only 49. Motherfucking cancer.
Taking you're joking.
Another person, yeah.
So I hate that.
He was admitted to hospital in December, and unfortunately, yeah, cancer won in the end. So, yeah, so sad to hear. I mean, 49. Phil is a larger-than-life character. You know, this is back when Bafana Bafana were a really strong, strong team. You know, they were the pride of the nation. Of course, winning AFCON in 1996. Masinga had many other sort of accolades to his career. But yeah, passed away thanks to cancer. Diego Maradona had a health scare as well. He had a lot of internal bleeding, so he had a big operation. And his lawyer then tweeted something really weird. His lawyer tweeted a picture of the entire medical force that actually operated on Diego.
So like people.
Like there was some sort of
massive
triumph. It's an entire force. And this is what the tweet said. He finished the surgery to Diego Maradona, talking about the main surgeon here. Thank God everything came out perfect. A thank you to the medical department of the Olivas Clinic for their professionalism and humanity. Now we're waiting for the recovery so Diego can go back to work ASAP. What work? What does he do? The last anyone checked, he was doing sniff in Russia, and he was having an absolute jewel. Anyway, this is sport, I guess. And finally, Matt Kuchar just won the Sony Open in Hawaii. Unfortunately, though, Matt Kuchar's just been surrounded by controversy in a big way.
Controversy,
Gareth.
What kind?
Well, he's been called a poor tipper, a bad payer. So generally, as we all know, caddies and players make up a team. So if you got your long-standing caddy, you have various sort of breakdowns. So Matt Kuchar, for instance, back at the Maya Coba, when he won that last year, he won $1.296 million. Okay, so what's 10% of that?
A lot.
Basically, $130,000.
Uh-huh.
But that's not what he paid his caddy. Now, it wasn't his regular caddy. That week, he had a caddy who goes by the name El Tucan. So, this was this Mexican guy who was a local at Mayakoba. And people are saying that Matt Kuchar, you tight bastard, you only paid him $3,000. So, Matt Kuchar saying there's no story here. That's not what happened. He didn't get 10%, but he didn't get $3,000 either. So, generally, you think that your long-term caddy is on this deal of 10%. A local guy you pick up hasn't had to travel, hasn't had to do all these other different things, so you have a different rate with him. People are saying it was $3,000, which would make him seem like the biggest dickhead ever. But Matt Kuchar is saying there's no story. So, don't believe everything that you read, because there's no actual proof of this, and the guy himself said it's not happening. You gotta go with the guy who said this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, in this world, you have one allegation, just like the guy who had the ship at the light last week in Freyheit. Unfortunately, he'll always be known as that person. So that is your sport for this Monday. More in the week ahead.
All right, very good. It is time for us to check in on the money. It's that time of the morning where we get our update once a week from either Anthea Gardner or one of her expert colleagues. And this morning, Silejo is with us. He obviously stands in for Anthea regularly, so he's no stranger to our show. How are you, Silejo?
Great. How are you doing?
Good, man. Very, very good. So where do we begin? You've got loads of information for us today.
Yeah, lots to talk about. I think the big news is that we've seen quite a lot of profit warnings coming from companies globally. So after Apple came out at the start of this year saying that their earnings were going to disappoint, over the past week, we've had more and more companies say similar things for their businesses.
Huh.
So, for example, Samsung, which obviously is a competitor of Apple, they've said that they're going to miss their earnings guidance and expectations. We had LG with a really horrific earnings result. They said that they were... So, expectations were for profits to grow by 3%.
Yeah.
They said that profits were going to decline by 80%. That's 80%.
Wow. Okay, that is disappointing. Because, you know, often, I mean, like with Apple, for example, when they say that they're disappointed, it's because their expectations are probably too high because everybody expects growth on growth on growth on growth on growth.
Yes.
And actually, Apple's a hugely profitable company.
Yes.
So if you own shares, you're doing fine.
Yeah, it's just that perhaps they've gotten too big.
Well, they're just running out of markets to exploit, if anything. And their products are expensive, so they only really apply to the top end. So if you're an investor in Apple, you're not complaining. You're just expecting unrealistic growth.
Yeah, you still own probably one of the biggest brands.
Sure.
Most innovative companies in the world.
We now expect everything to grow at double-digit figures every year.
Yeah.
It's kind of unsustainable.
Exactly. And that's what we're seeing in these numbers. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is it's in a variety of industries. So, for example, in the car market, we saw that Ford and Jaguar said that they're going to have to cut jobs. They're going on pretty meaningful cost-cutting programs.
Right.
So it's basically across the board we're seeing this.
So LG, that doesn't sound very good at all.
No. So this was an earnings, I guess, guidance statement. They actually still have to report their results, in which when they do that, they'll then unpack what drove that.
Mm-hmm.
So at this stage, we just have that headline 80% decline number.
All right. Macy's, they're a big retailer in America.
Yes, and they've actually been doing pretty well over the last year or so. After everyone thought that Amazon was going to kill all other retailers, Macy's actually had a pretty good year. But now they've come out and said that their December holiday season was not what they had guided or expected it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And their stock had its worst one-day performance ever in its history. So that was down 18% on Thursday as a result.
Okay. So what else is happening with U.S. earnings season?
So we have,
it's now.
Yes, that's kicking off now. And basically, because of these profit warnings and expectations coming down, we now have S&P 500 earnings estimates coming down from 17% growth. That's what we were expecting for the fourth quarter in September.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're expecting 11% for the fourth quarter of 2018. So
okay.
It's come down by quite a bit already, and that's expected to continue. Netflix is probably the most interesting or anticipated earnings result that we're going to get this week.
All right, so let's talk about Netflix for a minute. 130 million subscribers globally when it last reported in September 2018. What are they saying is likely to happen with the share price?
So everyone's expecting about 9 million additional subscribers.
Uh-huh.
And that's probably the most important metric for Netflix. So if they come out ahead of that, the share price is going to run appreciably from here, even though it's up 26% already in 2019. If they disappoint and they come out below 9 million subscribers, then the share is going to come under a lot of pressure.
And analysts are forecasting that the company, as you say, will add 9 million subscribers. That's a huge number.
It is, and I guess it's off the back of things like Bird Box, which they said had 45 million mm-hmm. Subscribers or individuals watching.
You watch it?
I did.
What a waste of your time, right?
It wasn't for me, but...
Yeah, me neither.
2 hours, you'll never get
back. Don't be nice, yeah.
But I did watch a lot of other things that I love on Netflix, so...
No, sure.
I do still love the content they push out.
Chinese auto sales, because these are an indicator of what's going on in the Chinese economy generally and therefore what will happen to the world economy. So what are we looking at in cars in China?
Yes, exactly. Cars in China in 2018, we got data this past week that they were down for the first time since 1990, so 28 years. Part of that is because a tax break or subsidy ended this year. But even then, I think this just points to the fact that the Chinese consumer and the Chinese economy is definitely slowing down. It's just one of many data points we've gotten on that.
All right. So what does it mean for the rest of us?
So I think it means, number one, that we shouldn't expect growth global growth to continue at the rates that we've seen for the last, I suppose, 10 years since the financial crisis. It also means that China's going to have to try to keep stimulating, but every time they stimulate, they're taking on additional debt, and you can't do that forever. So I think it just points to global growth slowing.
So the Chinese car sector accounts for 30% of global car sales. Is that right?
Yes. It's the biggest car sector or region in the world.
Very interesting. All right. How about that U.S. government shutdown? I spoke about it in the news just a minute ago. How is that affecting Wall Street?
So interestingly, now we're starting to see it's affecting IPOs. So when companies want to go public, it's delaying that process. It's also affecting company takeovers. a great example of this is Uber, which wants to go public this year. They've already filed confidential documents to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But reports in the media this past week have come out saying that Uber now is kind of in limbo, waiting for the U.S. government to start back up so that the SEC, which is in charge of IPOs, can actually review the documents and get back to them.
So it's starting to have real-world effects
yes.
on companies. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And Jeff Bezos, this is a big story last week. We spoke about it the other day. His wife, Mackenzie, and he are getting divorced. And a lot of people were talking about, well, what does this mean for Amazon?
So, yes, Jeff owns about 16% of Amazon. He's obviously the CEO and founder.
Only 16, huh?
Yeah, 16% of 800 billion. Quite
no, it's good. It's a good amount of money.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it's not too shabby.
But that's on paper. It doesn't mean he has... you know, $60 billion in cash in the safe.
True, yeah, it's not 100% liquid. Although I guess he's going to be making it a bit more liquid over the coming weeks and months.
So they live in Washington State, which is where they have a community property law, which means that all the money earned and property bought during the marriage are considered shared 50-50 between the two partners, owned equally by husband and wife. So if they are going to get divorced, the deal is that she will get half of everything and he will get half of everything.
Yes, that's essentially the deal. They don't have a prenuptial agreement, according to press reports. It seems like people aren't sure whether there was a postnuptial agreement signed, but indications are that it's going to be a 50-50 split or something close to that.
All right, what does that make her, an important shareholder?
Yes, that will make her one of the biggest minority shareholders, so she would own roughly 8% of Amazon. She wouldn't get a board seat, but it would just be a large amount of control, obviously.
Hmm. Damn right. And did she not have some already?
I'm actually not sure what her shareholding is... is it now as things stand, because she was there throughout the birth of the company.
I'd be surprised if she didn't have some shares already.
Yeah, I'd have to check up on that. I'm not sure.
Oh. All right, well, thank you. Do you want to talk about AB InBev quickly before we wrap this up?
Sure, yeah. So locally, AB InBev on Friday said that, or report said that they're considering listing their Asian operations,
mm-hmm.
and shares were up 4% as a result of that. Essentially, they've got quite a lot of debt, and it's a mature company, and so they're just looking for ways to pay down that debt and free up capital.
And while we're talking about that, it's probably worth noticing that this morning the Money Shot is brought to you by Easy Equities, because if you are an invest star, if you're an invest star and you're not playing in this game yet, you are missing out. Rock stars are everywhere, but you might not have heard of invest stars. They are definitely the next big thing. You can be an investor by simply registering on hashtag invest with Easy Equities, who will kickstart your investment with 50 Rand, use your demo account, build a portfolio of stocks. The investor with the highest returns wins 5,000 Rand in the invest portfolio of their choice. T's and C's apply. Find out more by going to cliffcentral.com. That's the Money Shot today, sponsored by Easy Equities. Are you ready to rock investing with hashtag invest? And you can find all that info on cliffcentral.com. But while we're talking about that, this is a good week. And if you are a trader, if you are an investor, if you're someone who's looking at the stocks and the shares locally, clothing retailers report this week. Is there a possible opportunity there?
Yes. So all the big names, Fashini, Trueworths, Mr. Price, Woolworths will be reporting this week on Thursday and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
There is definitely an opportunity there. I think it's going to give us a good indication of what consumers in South Africa are feeling and how much they've been spending. Those shares are quite cheap across the board, all four of those shares, with the exception perhaps of Mr. Price. But if we have any positive surprises, then all four of those shares should gap up quite meaningfully.
Well, let's hope that the Christmas period gave them something to be happy about. And finally, the Reserve Bank, and this always affects everybody. The interest rate decision this Thursday, what do you reckon is going to happen?
It looks like they're going to keep things on hold, so no change in rates.
All right. Thank you, Seleho. Seleho Tsatsi, everybody, and a look at the Money Shot this morning. CliffCentral.com on a Monday. It's just after 7 o'clock. Coming up next, Said by Sia. We'll also get stuck into a couple of the stories in the news. There are a few things that we spoke about last week that we have to pick up on. Nomuzi. Mabena and that whole story.
Yo.
Yeah, people are talking about that too. Sia was saying, I told you so.
But we also, did. We called
you,
it.
You called it. Who was it? It was Ben and someone else.
Yeah. Me.
You guys called it.
I mentioned that there was like an echo. You could hear it was a studio type of a studio recording, something that.
Yeah, and when the hubcap just fell next to the car, it was far too crisp.
You didn't buy it from the beginning.
Yeah,
then.
Studio sound.
Really. So there we go. There's lots of that to talk about. There's plenty of other good stuff to get into. You can call us on 0861-555-189. And we'd like to hear from you this morning. Hey, guys, I managed to catch you live for a change because I'm going in for a double knee surgery today.
Ooh.
Ooh, that sounds horrible.
Mm. I've never had a double knee before.
This is from Michelle. She says, proof that your conversation on Friday about running turns out it's not for everybody. Thanks for all the good content. I've been listening for about 4 years and I feel a bit like I know you all. I stayed in Berlin for a few months and I listened to the show while I was running, go figure, and I still remember exactly where I was when my buddy said she was leaving. I dropped dead in my track. Well, you didn't drop dead, you stopped dead in your track. I don't
fell
often
to my double knees.
Yeah. I don't often get to catch you guys live, so I haven't sent so many messages. And besides, you already have another Michelle in Cape Town. So, ciao, guys. Thanks again. That's from a different Michelle in Cape Town. All right? So, there we go. Those are the kinds of messages that we are here to receive from you, and plenty of other kinds as well. 0861-555-189 if you want to call us. But if you want to WhatsApp us, like Michelle just did, 0797-482-0090. Said by CR on the way.
This is CliffCentral.com.